Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
But I want you to understand, if there's any good in us, the Bible says, we didn't do it. If there's anything about us that's worthwhile, it's not because we suddenly got smart enough to make that happen. It's not us, it's the shepherd.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
I want to start out by asking you two questions. I want you to think with me for a little bit. The first question is, are you a secure person? Secure. We spend a lot of money and effort on security these days, don't we? After 9/11, we even have a part of our government, the Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security. There's internet security. You got security on your truck or your car. Probably two ways. You lock it, and then you punch in buttons, and it goes off and goes crazy and aggravates everybody else when somebody leans on it and all that. It's everywhere. It's in our houses. It's everywhere. It's even in our churches. I mean, at Piney Woods Christian Church, and I know that sounds like it's in the deep woods, but it's really not, but we have a security team, and there's five guys every service. And you're stupid if you don't. God gave us a brain, and things happen. And you know, the more we spend on it, the more we do with it, the answer is we spend a lot of time and effort to be secure, but we're not. Well, I mean, we're just not. I mean, what do you rest for your security on? If I were to say, what are you basing? If you said, yes, I'm a secure person, what are you basing that security on? Some people say, well, it's my job because I got a good retirement and I got a good plan set by and I'm secure and all that. But what if you got a pink slip tomorrow? Now how secure are you? Some folks say, well, it's my health and my strength. I'm one of them big strapping guys, and I'm going to be here forever. Oh, really? What if you got a bad report from the doctor? What happens to your security then? Here's the second question. How satisfied are you? How satisfied are you with your life? Are you like the Rolling Stones? I can't get no satisfaction. I read during putting this together, somebody did a poll and they figured out that about 70% of all Americans hate the job they go to every day. 70%. 7 out of 10 get up every morning and hate what they're doing. Can you imagine? You say, yes, I can. I'm one of them. I can imagine it. I mean, you know, we seek for satisfaction. But where are you looking? Because what David's going to teach us in Psalm 23 is if you're looking anywhere except to the shepherd, you're fixing to be disappointed. He's the only man, the only source of real security. And he's the only source of real satisfaction. And he's the only one that can give that to us. And he said, David said, when the Lord is our shepherd, we have everything we need. He didn't say everything we want. Don't you wish he did sometimes? But he said, everything you need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And what I want to do for the next three nights is we're going to look at the secrets to security and satisfaction. And we're going to ask David a question. David, you said, the Lord is your shepherd, and because the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. What do you mean by that? What do you mean? What do you mean you shall not want? And David would say, I mean just what I said. I shall not want. I don't lack for anything. I don't lack for strength. I don't lack for stability. I don't lack for security. I don't lack for satisfaction. The Lord is my shepherd. I do not lack. And so today we're going to look at, I don't lack for restoration. Because you see, we've already talked about it. It seems a little strange, doesn't it? When we're going to read in just a moment, but we're going to read about the fact that David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and I walk in green pastures and beside still waters," and then he says, "He restores me." Why in the world do we need restoration if I have all I need? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's answer that question. If you don't mind standing with me while we read the Word just a moment, I want us to take Psalm 23. We're going to read the first three verses. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Let's pray together. Father, speak to us today. Help us understand this thing about the sheep and the shepherd. Because, Lord, if we don't get this, we're fixing to be miserable folks. And we're going to be spending all of our life looking for what you're trying to give away to your sheep. And so I pray you give us some wisdom to be able to look at your word and come away with the truth that we need. In Jesus I pray, amen. Let's look quick, and I don't have any idea what these other two guys said. And so if you hear a repeat, just know that they got it from me. All right? Before we can really understand the 23rd Psalm, because there's a lot of this you're going to see over the next few days that we totally misunderstand. And we misunderstand it because we read it from our point of view. But David was the shepherd king. And he spent his young life and the young years of his life taking care of sheep. So he understood, and when he wrote this, he wrote it from the vantage point of a shepherd. So until we understand sheep and shepherd, we don't understand the 23rd Psalm. And we will make applications and try to make things mean something that David didn't mean and didn't say. And so I want us to have hope today, because that's what the 23rd Psalm does. If you're struggling tonight, if you have in difficulty tonight, if you're living through hard times, hope and help are in Psalm 23. But I want to give us hope and help that's real. I don't want to give you something just because it sounds good or because you've heard it all your life. So David, so we got to understand this sheep thing. Now, I don't know how much David told you about that, but here's the deal. When the Bible calls you sheep and us sheep, he's not being complimentary. Okay? Understand that. When he says sheep, don't you sit back there with a little grin on your face and say, "I'm just Jesus' little lamb." That's what I am. I'm his cute little cuddly lamb. Jesus is not giving you a compliment to call you sheep. He's actually describing your character. And he's not extremely complimentary. You see, here's the truth about sheep. Number one, they're dumb. A sheep is eat up with stupidity. A sheep is absolutely overloaded with dumbness. When's the last time you went to a circus and enjoyed the trained sheep? You can't train a sheep. You can train a dog, you can train a horse, you can train a cat, you can probably even train a guppy, but you can't train a sheep. He's untrainable. He cannot be trained. He is ignorant to the core. You still happy to be a sheep? And not only are they dumb, they're defenseless. Absolutely defenseless. The only domesticated animal on this planet that cannot go back into the wild. I didn't know this till I was studying for writing that booklet and doing those studies. A pig go back into the wild. We got wild pigs, wild horses, wild dogs, wild cats, wild anything. You ain't never heard of a wild sheep because they can't go back into the wild. Now, there are sheep that are wild sheep, but not a domesticated sheep. That cannot happen. Only animal on the face of the planet that is absolutely 100%, totally and completely dependent on the shepherd for its existence. If you see a well-fed, beautiful sheep, one thing you can take to the bank, he didn't do it by himself. He didn't accomplish that on his own. Can I tell you something about us? Let's just get real honest. It's okay, huh? I'm going to go back to Downsville in 3 days, and so I can say what I want to here. But I want you to understand, if there's any good in us, the Bible says, we didn't do it. If there's anything about us that's worthwhile, it's not because we suddenly got smart enough to make that happen. It's not us, it's the shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. And listen to me, Southside Church and Hope, what this church needs is a shepherd. And not just your under-shepherd, but the good shepherd who's here to take care of his sheep. We are dependent on a shepherd. That's why I liked what David said. You're going to be dependent on something. You were made to be dependent on Jesus, but you'll depend on something somewhere down the road. So with all that in mind, this relationship between shepherd and sheep, that's what the rest of the whole psalm is built on. Let's look at verse 3. He restores my soul. Now what does that mean? What's David talking about? David, as a shepherd, when he talks about this restoration, he's not just talking about when we mess up sometimes. He's not talking about when we slip up sometimes. David is referring at this point in time to something called a cast sheep. C-A-S-T. How many of you ever heard of this? Oh, that's great. I get to show you something new. This is a cast sheep. What is a cast sheep? A cast sheep is a sheep who, in an attempt to get comfortable, gets down on the ground, rolls around a little bit, finds himself in a little hollow or an indention, and flips up on his back. And when he flips on his back, he can't get back on his feet. He's cast. It's even talked about in some Psalms. David says that my soul is cast down. He's referring to a sheep. And this cast sheep gets on his back, feet straight up in the air, and he begins to kick, and he won't make a sound. Strange enough, I told you he's ignorant. He won't bleed out. He won't call out for the shepherd. He'll just sit there on his back and kick and kick and kick until he dies. Because he can't breathe. He struggles. He's frightened, he's frustrated, he's confused, but he's determined that this time I can do it. I've been on this before, and I know I had to have his help, but this time I'm going to do it myself. Sound like anybody you know? Any of you ever said that to yourself? I realize I've never been able to do this before, but this time's going to be different. And it's not. This cast sheep winds up on his back. He's defenseless. He's absolutely at the mercy of everything around him. And he struggles. And he struggles. And he's frightened and he lashes around. And what I read as I studied for this is that the shepherd's number one job, stay with me here, is not running off predators, but looking for cast sheep. A shepherd loses more sheep to being cast, turning back on their back, feet straight up in the air, struggling and dying, than he loses to wolves and coyotes. He's more concerned about being cast than he is about predators, than he is about bad grass, than he is about bad water, because these sheep are prone to turning their lives upside down. Oh my goodness. I don't know about you, but I can identify. And I'm going to be honest with you about Blaine today. I can't identify with you. I can't tell you what you're like, but I know what I'm like. Can I tell you something? I don't need the devil's help to get my life in a mess. We want to blame the devil for everything. You never heard that? I hear people all the time in my church, devil been after me all week. That's a lie. Devil don't even know your name. People say, I taught them last night, I said, I'm tired of hearing about the devil being after you. Understand this, the devil ain't like God. He can't be everywhere at one time. So wherever he is now, he's not everywhere else. And I promise you there ain't a person in this room important enough for the prince of darkness to come personally at you. There's a lot of people a lot more important to the kingdom than Blaine. That's where the devil is. But I don't know about you. Them little imps been bothering me. If that's all they are, I don't want the big boy. But I blame a whole lot on the devil. The devil ain't got nothing to do with. The devil doesn't turn my life upside down most of the time. The devil doesn't make me be stupid most of the time. The devil just stays out of my way. I'll do it for myself. A sheep is his own worst enemy, and the shepherd knows it and has to watch out for him constantly. Hosea 11:7 said, "My people are bent on backsliding." He also says that a backslider is like a stubborn heifer. I love the analogies of Hosea. Can you identify? Any of you country enough know what he's talking about? You ever tried to lead a calf or a horse or a donkey where they don't want to go? And they'll begin by backing up just a little bit, but you pull even harder, and they'll begin to sit down and dig in. And then before long, back up. And the Bible says that's what we do to God. He's trying to lead us. And we're prone to digging in and becoming cast. And the Bible says when we become cast, Jesus, hear me now, is looking for his cast sheep. Because you see, we'll never cry out to him. But let's be honest. I mean, isn't that the truth with us? We very seldom ever holler for him. He comes looking for us. And when he gets there, he goes to work. What causes the sheep to become cast? Can I tell you? Sheep that have heavy wool become cast before any other sheep. When the fleece is long and there's a lot of wool, they'll get in that little holler and they'll wiggle around a little bit, and all of a sudden the center of gravity shifts and whoop, and here they are. Can you identify? Your stuff ever getting away? What's meant to be a blessing ever become a curse? See, that sheep only serves two purposes, his meat to feed you or his wool to clothe you. But the more wool he has on him, the more prone he is to being flipped upside down by the very thing that should be a blessing. Let's be honest, Christian people. Our stuff gets in the way a lot of times. And the more stuff we have in our lives, the more prone we are to get turned upside down by that stuff. We think we need it, don't we? Would you be honest, most of the stuff you got parked in your garage and in your basement or in your attic, you could do very well without. It's not accomplishing anything other than taking up your time and demanding your attention. You see, everything we buy and everything that becomes a part of our lives comes with maintenance. Why don't they tell us that when we're young? It owns you. Yeah, we say we own it, but we don't own it. It owns us. And if we get too much of it and we spend too much attention to it, we'll become cast. It'll flip us upside down. And so what does the Lord do? The Lord comes when he finds one of us on our back with our feet straight up in the air, and that shepherd would stand over that sheep and he would begin to rub his legs and he'd begin to rub his belly because that sheep is so afraid that he'll lash out at the shepherd right at first. You ever done that? And the shepherd reminds him, talks to him real low and strokes him, and then he rolls him over on his side. See, the sheep's been upside down so long that his legs no longer have feeling, so the shepherd starts massaging those feet, and he starts massaging those legs, and he talks to that sheep, and he rubs him, and he talks to him, and he massages him, and then he flips him over onto his belly, and then he picks him up and puts his feet on the ground. But see, the sheep still can't walk. He's been on his back too long, and so the shepherd will stand there and put his arms around that sheep and wrap his arms under his belly and hold him up and hold him up and walk him around and guide him here and guide him there until finally that sheep becomes strong enough to walk, and then he'll pop him on the behind and send him back into the flock. But the first thing he does after he's gotten him back on his feet is he goes gets a pair of shears and he takes off the wool. Sometimes God has to shear us. Sometimes God has to take away that stuff that we've allowed to get in the way. You see, one of the definitions of restore can mean refresh. And one of the ways God refreshes us is to cut away the stuff we think we need that's really in the way so we can breathe again. He restores. But it also can mean to bring back the strays. You see, here's the interesting thing. Stay with me now. I'm fixing to wrap this up. Strays are more prone to becoming cast than sheep that stay in the flock. When a sheep stays in the flock with the other sheep, they don't become cast very often. But sheep that get away from their other flock, that go off on their own, that become lone rangers, turned upside down more than any others. And you know what keeps them in the flock? Ample food. Nibblers become strays. those who feast usually stay put. Huh. Some of you just heard it. Do you hear me? You want to keep your feet on the ground? Then stay in church. Don't let the enemy convince you you don't need this, because yes, you do. We need each other. I need you, if for no other reason, to keep my feet on the ground. Keep me from flopping over on my back with my feet and become useless and dying and drying up. We need each other. We can't do without each other. And the second thing I want you to know is, you want to keep from being cast. You want to not have to be restored quite so much. You tired of being frustrated and frightened and confused and insecure and unsatisfied? Then feast on the Word. Don't nibble on it every once in a while. Because those who are feasting on it stay in the flock. And they stay on their feet. So what's secure? He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Let me tell you about our shepherd. First of all, he is a competent guide. Why you want to go anywhere else? He leads us. Do you understand that? The great Creator God leads us. The one who made the road your own leads us. It pictures someone who's helpless being led by someone. It pictures somebody who can't do it on their own. Folks, the greatest discovery we'll make in our lives is when we realize we can't do this. I told my church the other day, I was preaching to them, I told them, why don't you stop trying to be a Christian? They looked at me like, what are you talking about? I said, because you can't do it. The only one who was right was Jesus. So if you want to be right, you got to stop trying to do right, because you can't do right. And you got to let the only one who was right move inside and do it through you. That's what He wants to do. He wants to lead us. He wants to lead us, but we like a heifer. Stubborn. We don't like being led. We feel the rope around our neck, and rather than it being a leash taking us to good places, we see it as a noose that's tying us down. What's leading you tonight, people? Answer the question. Is it the latest fad? Is it the world? Is it some man, some preacher? I don't care who it is. If they're breathing, you need to realize they're not worth following. Because we're all prone to mistake. And we're all prone to failure. We're just a sheep. Your preacher will become cast sometimes, because he's just like you, in need of a shepherd. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. I like this. That phrase actually translated is not the paths of righteousness, it's the tracks of righteousness. You understand it? Wherever God's leading you, He's already walked down that road. And He's not asking you, let's go down this road and I'll walk kind of with you. That's not what He says. He says, I done been down there. Look down. Follow my track. I've already walked this road before. Follow. You see, that's what we've got to do. We've got to learn how to follow. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Two things it says. First of all, acknowledge Him. That means, folks, listen to me. I'm drawing this to a close. You will never get one thing I've been talking about. It'll never mean anything to you until you can say like David, the Lord is my shepherd. It starts by acknowledging that you're a sheep, He's the shepherd, and you need Him much worse than He needs you. And then He will direct our paths, but we have to follow. That's daily surrender. That's getting up every morning, finding His way. See, because as a shepherd, He's a competent guide. As a shepherd, He gives us a chosen path. And last of all, as sheep, we have a consistent purpose. I'm to walk in the tracks of righteousness for His name's sake. Can I tell you something as I draw this to a close? My only purpose as a sheep is to bear testimony to the goodness of my shepherd. If I am well fed, if I am productive, if I am accomplishing what sheep are supposed to accomplish, it is a testimony to the world that my shepherd's a good shepherd. Yes. But on the other hand, stay with me. If I stay cast all the time, if I'm raggedy and my fur, my wool's all matted, if you can count my ribs, what the world doesn't know is that's my fault. They think I've got a sorry shepherd. And my job is to follow in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, as a testimony to Him. Can you say that tonight, folks? The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I shall not lack for restoration. I hope I don't need it tomorrow, but if I do, my shepherd's going to find me. And He's going to put me back on my feet. See, He restores. He brings back. He refreshes. He renews my soul and leads me in the paths of righteousness. Let me close. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Yep, that's right. There's a little three-letter word there that we need to understand. That word all, translated out of the Hebrew, means all. That means you and me and all of us. We all have gone astray. Every one of us have turned to our own way. That's our problem. Our problem is us. I see my worst enemy when I look in the mirror in the morning. Now here's the provision. The verse ends by saying, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. That's the cure. My problem is me. My cure is the shepherd. Nothing else works.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.